Thank you, John, for that. Thank you for what you've done all week. Appreciate that, you and Karen. Appreciate the Jacksons being here and all week and helping us out. And now we got the Corey and Kaya were here. We appreciate that too. And now we're going to have Janice and Brent give us some things that are on their heart. I just want to let you all know that it's not automatic that a wife be an invested missionary wife. I've known some missionaries whose wives were not invested in the work and even become a hindrance. But boy, when you get the wife on board and she's invested in the work also, it becomes a powerful thing. This is a powerful thing to have a couple that is serving the same Lord for the same purposes of one mind. That's a tremendous thing. So we do appreciate you, you missionary wives and you pastors' wives, and I'll bet you men just appreciate you regular Christian wives that just live the life and do the thing that they're supposed to do. It's amazing because it really helps us. And so I just want to introduce to you Janice. She's been a missionary just as long as Brent. That's amazing. You know, she's put out the effort. It's not easy to do the work, but when you got a wife helping you out, boy, that's tremendous, especially one that's as invested as Janice. So Janice, we appreciate you, and we'd like you to come up and give us what's on your heart.
Praise the Lord. It's good to be here. John kind of was promoting Mexico, telling us how cool it is. Well, we live a million miles away where it's even better than cool. It's cold. And when I come home and when I'm here, y'all say that it's hot, but it's warming my bones, and I thrive here. If you will, open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. This might seem like a strange place to start for a mission conference, but a couple of months ago I got a new Polish Bible, and I determined to myself I'm going to start reading Polish instead of English. We've been on the mission field for 33 years, and I've always read my English Bible, and then if something blessed me, I would go to Spanish or I would go to Polish and read it and see if it's the same thing, because I don't want to get up and try to give a blessing whenever it doesn't say the same thing. So I determined I was going to start reading Polish Bible from the beginning to the end. And I got to Genesis chapter 1, and that was about 2 months ago. And I'm just barely into Genesis chapter 2. And so I have, you know, when you get your heart in tune to God and doing things His way, He has a way of, blessing beyond my comprehension. Genesis chapter 1 is 31 verses. And I saw that in 31 places, God did something. So, okay, what did God exactly do? Well, we know what God did in Genesis chapter 1. He created, and I'm going to just do this very condensed. He created, He moved, He said, He saw, He divided, He called, He made, He set, and He blessed. Now, that's only 9 places, so the rest of the 31 places, it's repeated certain things. And what blessed me was what He repeated. He saw, that's verse 4, verse 10, he saw something. And it says every time, 6 times, it was good. And I think God is still saying today, I think God is still watching us and seeing what we're doing. Amen. And I'm hoping that it's good. I'm wondering if it's good. I'm wondering if God sees it as good. We might see it as good, but does God see it as good? And then he, another one, he blessed. And he blessed twice. And we see that from the very beginning, he's creating his creation. And he goes down and all the way to 25, that's where he finished his creation as far as the earth, the heavens, the waters, the fish, the everything. And in verse 25, he saw that it was good. And then he blessed them in verse 28. And God has blessed his creation. I truly believe that God has blessed his creation. And then he says, well, the creation was good, but now I've got something else to do. And he created man. And he created us. And he said he saw that it was good. And then as he blessed his creation, he blessed Adam and Eve. And he blessed his creation, us. And to me, that spoke to God's greatness. This whole, all of these verses, it just showed me God's grandeur, how mighty our God is.
Amen.
His greatness. There's nothing that our God cannot do. And his majesty, his greatness, his power. You know, Lyndall said this week, he just, and there went the stars. There went something else. His greatness. And that is our God,
yeah.
Brothers and sisters. That's who we're serving. That's who started this work. This God that has done everything, that's who we serve. And
amen.
His majesty, his goodness, his greatness, his love, his character, all of that is the reason why you and I are here today. This
amen.
Is why we go a million miles away where it's cold. That's why we go not so far away where it's just cool, but you suffer the persecutions. We haven't seen the, yeah, you suffer the attacks. We haven't seen the persecutions in Poland like we saw in Mexico. And I thank God for that. I didn't like watching my husband and my coworkers get beat up and get stoned basically. But that's the God that we have. And he tells us, he tells Adam and Eve, he says, I've blessed you, now go and multiply. And I'm thinking, you know, that's pretty good for a mission conference. Hey, you go multiply yourself. You go do some more. Bring some more people in. Because that's our mission. And we've been blessed with this. We have been given the opportunity. We've been given the privilege to take this God that is all powerful and present him to people that are without Christ. They're without God and they're without hope. I've been blessed. I've been blessed in many, many ways. A very short testimony. Last week I completed 42 years in the Lord. He saved me 42 years ago. I was 16 years old. I was not seeking God. I know the Bible says that he came to seek and to save.
Amen.
But he even saves those that don't seek him. I was not seeking God.
Amen.
I was a wild teenager. I was not living for God, not seeking God, like I said. But he had mercy upon me, and he saved my soul, and he changed my life. And he put me in a church here that gave me good pastors.
Amen.
Brother Kincaid, Brother Taylor at the time. I'm thankful for these men, and I will stand behind these men as long as I live. And he put me in with missionaries. He put me in with people that had also given their lives to the Lord. And I thank the Lord for my missionary co-workers. I thank the Lord for a 12-year-old girl that took me under her wing when I came as 16 years old. I thought she was my age or older. But Linda Kincaid took me in, and she befriended me. And she said, Janice, welcome. You are a part of our family. And she tutored me. She mentored me. And not only did Linda, but Bernie. And never condoning, never condescending on where I came from, because if you know, Bernie and I were totally from opposite things. I was hard and rough and tough, and she was Miss Goody Two Shoes. No, she was good. She was sweet. She was kind. And she took me in. And if it wasn't for these two young girls, 12-year-olds, we have a few here, your testimony, your friendliness does wonders.
That's right.
And I thank the Lord for them. Then Laura, then Debbie, then many, many of you have touched my heart. And that's been a blessing. God has blessed me. Then I met my husband. I was engaged to another guy when I met Brent. And then I was engaged to a second guy, Brent's best friend. And God gave me him. He has been a loving, faithful, good, spiritual leader, provider, comforter, pastor, everything that a husband should be. That man has been. He has led me. He has taught me. He has proven me many times. And I thank the Lord for him.
Amen.
And it's been a privilege to, in October, serve together 40 years with him. And for some of you here in this audience right now, you're the culprit. Nick and Debbie, they were the ones that kind of helped God along, putting us together. And I thank the Lord for that, because it's God's doing. It's his working in our lives. And I mean, we have friends. And I come back here, and you know, the people that were there in the church when I first came 42 years ago, some of you are still here. There are still people that were here from that first day, and if they're not here, they've either died. There's many of those old saints that were here that have gone on to be with the Lord. They're not here. And some of them that were here the first time part of my life, they've gone to the mission field. They're in other countries, they're in other churches, and they're serving the Lord. Now, maybe not all of them, but there's a testimony here. And this is God's doing. God has done it. And I'm thankful for that. The Lord has blessed Brent and I with four wonderfully non-perfect but good kids. You know, it's a testimony when your kids grow up that you can look at them and say, those are pretty good kids. They've turned out well.
Thank you, Lord.
Not every parent can say that. There are some parents that, even though they brought their children up in church, their children are not in church. And I thank the Lord for the work that my Lord, my Creator, our Creator, has done in my children's lives. And not only did he save them, gave them to us and saved them, but he gave them godly, spiritual, saved spouses. I thank the Lord for Michael. I thank the Lord for Sherry and for Magda and for Pavel. I thank the Lord because they're all saved. They all love the Lord and they're all serving the Lord.
Amen.
And I'm grateful for that.
Amen.
And I think God needs to be praised for it.
Amen.
And he's given us a ministry. He's given us 12 grandchildren. That didn't make any sense, but we have 11 grandchildren. We have one on the way, so we're going to have a complete dozen grandchildren. And they are starting to come up in the Lord and being saved, and I'm thankful for that. He's given us the privilege of not only serving, ministering here at Oak Knoll for 6-7 years before we went to Mexico. We were in Mexico for 10 years working with Mike and Susan, Bill and Cindy / Debbie, John and Karen, and it's been good. Roland and Angie, Adrian, many of our coworkers, and it's been good. It's been a privilege to serve with y'all, and it's been an honor to serve with you, and you're still serving, and that's a miracle. That is a great glory to God. Because in Poland, we've been there for 23 years now, and we have seen missionaries come and missionaries go. It's not easy being on the mission field. You have to first of all learn how to get along with your husband, your wife, and the daily trivial things that you all experience here. It's another thing to work out the problems that you have with your missionary co-workers. You have the language, you have the people, you have the culture. There's many factors that make the mission field very difficult. And when you have missionaries that last longer than 2 years, you got a blessing. You've got a work that can only be said this was of God. And I thank the Lord for my missionary co-workers, and you're still my co-workers, and we're working together in this. Now, after 10 years in Mexico, we went to Poland. We've been in Poland for 23 years now. It was like yesterday. I had all of my children with me when we went to Poland. And now they're all scattered around and have their own children. And you know, this is life. This is life that you have here. This is life that we all experience. You know, and it's the circle of life. It's God, what God said from the very beginning, I've blessed you, now go and multiply yourselves. And our children are people that we minister to, they are also going and multiplying themselves. And so we see that God in Genesis chapter 1, he's working even to today. And so we went to Poland. We've been there. It's totally the extremes as Mexico, the weather, the language. I didn't know at the time when I was in Mexico that Spanish was so easy because I struggled with it. But comparison to Polish, give me Spanish any day. And the first 5 years, I would say, we had no idea what we were doing. We didn't have the language. We were using the principles that we had in Poland, in Mexico, but they weren't working in Poland. So we had to kind of shuffle and start thinking, what are we going to do different? How are we going to make this work? And so the Lord showed Brent and Joe things that we needed to maybe try different. And so we started doing things a little bit different, and God started blessing. And then it came down to the Bible Project and what are we going to do? And Brent said, well, I've got to do this. I don't know how to do it. I don't know what I'm doing, but Joe, we've got to do this. They started it, and that was 20 years ago. That was 20 years ago, but that sign back there on that Bullish Bible Project says it's finished.
Amen.
And we've finished it, and we're seeing, like John said, we're seeing an explosion, nothing that we ever thought possible. You know, many of you probably thought, what are Brent and Joe going to do in a language that neither one of them, none of us have the complete grasp of it? How are they going to do something this important? And it was scary. You're messing with the Word of God. You know, it's scary. What are they going to do? How are they going to do it? And polls today still say, how did they do it? God did it. And God used men, and he's still using men. And so that's what Brent and Joe started doing 20 years ago. And it was about that time that I started teaching English. I'm an unofficial English teacher in the sense that I'm a native, so I do sort of know English a little bit, at least more than the Poles do. And for some Poles. And God, I truly believe God gave me that ministry. The weather, it's too cold for me to be out. I don't do well in the cold, so I can't get out on the streets like they do. But I can have students come to my house, and I can teach them, I can help them, and I can, help them with their language. And every student that I've had, and I've had maybe be getting close to 1,000 students in the time that I've taught, from different walks of life. I've taught CEOs, I've taught doctors, I've taught people of importance that we would look at. I even taught the third most powerful man in Poland, the Minister of Finance, and that was an honor. It was a privilege. It really was, because I gave him the gospel. And every student that I've had, and they can attest to it, they've had the gospel. Had some get saved, had some that have come to the meetings, but they've heard the gospel. And I try not to just preach to them or witness to them while I'm teaching them, but if they ask, and everyone have asked, what are you doing here and why are you so happy? And I'm like, well, I'm here because my husband's a preacher, and I'm happy because I know the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And that is my testimony of what I do as far as my mission or my work there. I'm an English teacher, but I'm also a wife of a preacher. I'm a wife of a pastor, and with my coworkers, we are teaching the ladies there. We have a lot, and I say a lot, 8, 9, 10 young women, and we or teaching them how to be a godly wife or a spiritual sister holy, not unholy, teaching them to have some morals, because the Polish mentality, they're not real moral people. And so they don't know modesty, I guess is another word that I want to use. We're teaching them from the Word of God. And we're seeing fruit from that. We're seeing that these young girls are witnessing to their friends. They're bringing their friends. Their friends are getting saved. Their parents are getting saved. And it's just good. And we have every Sunday morning before our meetings start, we have an hour or so prayer meeting. We pray for our pastors. We pray for the preachers. We pray for our guests. We pray for our attitudes. And we started out with 3, Debbie, Magda, and I, and now we're averaging probably 9 or 10 women that come. And so we've seen a blessing in that. We have Bible studies. A lot of my students now, a few of them are a part of the church. And so instead of having English classes, we're having Bible studies. So I'm getting poorer as I'm working probably more, but I don't charge. Anytime the Lord comes up, anytime an English lesson turns into a Bible study, I don't get paid. I cannot take money for spending an hour talking about the Lord and hoping to have them drawn closer to the Lord. So I'm not making as much money as I used to, but that's a good thing. I don't need the money. But I have an opportunity that maybe the guys don't have out on the street. I talk to people that would not be on the street. I talk to business people. I talk to kids that are in school and teenagers, especially on my heart are the teenagers. I have, this year will be 4 teenagers, grandchildren, and I see the state of the youth today, and it's hard. And it's hard in our kids' family here, you know, and they're in church, but kids that are not in church, kids that don't even have a Bible, we need to make a difference. A verse that was extremely precious to me in 2012 when we were here is in Jude, where, and of some show kindness, making a difference. And kids, not just kids, but older people, young people, middle-aged people, they need some kindness. And this is how God has blessed me. Me personally, this is, God has saved my soul. He put me in a church with good leadership, with strong believers. He's given me the Word of God to trust and believe in. And He says, I've blessed you. Now go and multiply yourself. Go and fill the earth. And I've been blessed. I've been truly extremely extra, extraly blessed. But I look around at y'all. Some I've known all of my spiritual life. You've been blessed too. You've been extremely blessed. And we've got a job to do. We have a work to do. Not just Bryn and I or, you know, Mike and Susan. We all have a work to do. Whether it's here in San Antonio, whether it's out on the farm, whether it's out in the schools, wherever it's at, we have a work to do, because some have not the knowledge of God. And some have no idea what this life is about. They think it's like Mike said last night, eat, drink, and be merry.
Right.
And it's not. And so, we're coming down to the end of our mission conference. We're wrapping this thing up, and it's in a few hours it's going to be history. And you know, John 3:16. I want to go there right quickly. It just popped in my mind. Talking about God and His majesty, His goodness, His mercy, His love, His everything. I think John 3:16 shows a good example of his character, God's character. And we know this verse. For God so loved. God loved. But he didn't just love. He didn't just pat us on the back. He so loved us. He so desires that we love him back, love the lost. But he showed us he so loved the world that he gave. He gave his only begotten son. And what have I given up for him? Well, probably the only thing that I've really given up is time with my children, time with y'all. It hurts. The hardest part about being on the mission field is not being with your family, not being with your kids, not being with your mom or your dad. It was never hard in Mexico, never hard. It was not hard the first 3 years in Poland because I had my children with me. God gave me children. God gave me precious, dear children. But they grew up and they left home. And that's been the hard part. So if there's something y'all want to pray for me especially about, that man over there, because he hurts. He misses his kids and his grandkids. Is a separation. So that, I think that's the only thing I've given up. But I know one day there's going to be that glad reunion day where there's not going to be no more goodbye moms. There's no going to be any more goodbye daughter, goodbye son, grandkids. We're going to be together. And so God is still manifesting, showing himself to us how good, how great he is. And the mission conference, Mark 16, you know, the Great Commission. We all know it. Jesus says, go. And I'm wondering why we have this verse, because there's the other one in Matthew about going and preaching. Why is this one labeled as the Great Commission? You know, I don't know. Maybe you thought about it. Maybe you know the answer. To me, it was just like, why? Why is go ye into all the world and preach the gospel? Why is that known as the Great Commission? And it's big work. It's great. The work is big. There's lots to do. And I hope we're making a little part of it. But I think it goes back to who's giving this commission. God, the commissioner. He's great. And the greatness of God, the majesty of God, the goodness of God, the love of God. How could we not but go? How can we not but give? And I don't know. This has been on my heart. John just said it. It's been said this whole week. We've got to get back to God. Where is God in our ministries? Where is God in our lives? And to me, if we do all these things, good things, noble things, and we don't have God being the center, being the outer part, being everything in our ministries, I think I need to reevaluate my ministry. Amen. It's not about Janice. It's not about Brent and Janice. It's not about the Polish Bible Project. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God that is so good and so great. And he saved us. Amen. He saved me. He saved Amen. You. And I just want whatever time left that I have to honor him in any way that I can. Because he's been so good to me. I've been blessed and we've been blessed. And glory to his name.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Janice. You are a treasure to our church. We really do believe that about you. And thank you for all your service all these